Jesus. Is it over? I thought it would never end. You know, I should have known something was up when I checked the Raw preview earlier today, when I went to go put the preview together for this stream, and they had two matches announced. I couldn't even put a full preview together. Two matches. That's all they would give me. Now that I've seen this show tonight, if I knew that was the show that I booked, I wouldn't want to advertise that in advance either. What a fucking boring show. You know, that's 2 weeks in a row, by the way. 2 weeks in a row of boring shows. Kevin Patrick is the perfect lead announcer for this show. If this is the way it's going to be from now on, Kevin Patrick is exactly the person who I would expect to be the lead announcer on a show that is the cure for insomnia. R-Truth and The Miz. This is coming off a week where we had Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler. We had R-Truth and The Miz tonight. Elias is back. So we had Elias and Gable. That was another match on the show tonight. The Good Brothers. Touching their balls. I mean, what else do we have tonight? What else? I'm looking at the rundown here. I got nothing here. You know, one of the things about the Triple H era of Raw so far, since Triple H took over, and I have been very, you know, complimentary of this, is he has made the 3 hours of Raw move a little bit faster. 3 hours still sucks. 3 hours is going to suck no matter what. But there were weeks where I would look at the clock and it was already 10:15 and it didn't feel like 10:15. And I said, man, this show is actually going by a lot quicker than it used to go by. I appreciate that. Triple H is making the most of the 3 hours that he's given. It's not his choice to go 3 hours. We've heard him talk before years ago. We know what Triple H thinks about 3 hours. If it were up to him, this show wouldn't be 3 hours. It would be 2 hours. Even a 2 hour show tonight still would have been boring. We had the extra hour. It's like it would never end. I kept looking at the clock. I'm like, has Vince McMahon taken over here? I feel like I'm back 6 months ago. I will give props to Bayley and Bianca Belair. I did think they went out there. They gave them a lot of time in that main event tonight. And I thought they went out there and they actually had a pretty good main event. And even better, Nikki Cross is no longer a superhero. She no longer has the superhero outfit with the suit with the fucking Zorro mask and the butterfly. Almost a superhero. No. She's no longer a superhero. We got crazy Nikki Cross back. They saved the best for last in the last 3 minutes of the show. But at least we have crazy Nikki back, right? That's what I've been waiting for. Get rid of the superhero stuff. Get crazy Nikki back. So at least we had that. At least they gave us something at the end of this show. Oh my God, I thought it would never end. This is your Mundane Night Raw review for Monday, October 24th, 2022. I think, I don't know, I fell asleep here for a few hours. I don't know where I am. I'm still trying to wake up here. Look at this. I got the crusty shit in my eye. I drink coffee, but I don't drink coffee, but I feel like I could use a cup of coffee right now. I'm going to try not to pass out in the middle of this review. I can't make any promises. You know, I just saw the World Series schedule. I was looking at the World Series schedule before, and I realized I'm not going to be able to watch any of the games. It sucks. First game of the World Series is on Friday night. We have SmackDown, which is going to be on FS1 because of baseball, so remember that. So we have SmackDown on Friday night. Saturday night is the next Hog Show, House of Glory. Sunday would be good, but Sunday's a travel day. And then we're back next Monday, right back here for Raw. I guess Tuesday. Tuesday will be game four. I should be able to watch game four. For those who don't know, I'm sure most of you know by now, Kevin Nash lost his son, Tristan, last week, passed away at the age of 26. He did a podcast with Sean Oliver. I was shocked. I didn't think he would be back doing podcasts this quickly. He did an entire podcast. The whole video was up on their YouTube channel. He and Sean Oliver, just a show dedicated to his son. And it's Nash going through all of the grieving emotions. There's sadness. There's, you know, laughter. There's all kinds of emotions. He's very open about what happened. If you want details about what happened, I watched the entire thing. It's about an hour and 30 something minutes, about 90 minutes. It is quite the show. So if you're not aware of it, Go ahead when you have a chance. I think that it would be good to check that out because, again, it's sad what happened. But I also think that for him, it was probably very therapeutic to do that show. And it was really, I thought, a good piece of business that they put together there. So, again, it's called Click This. You can find it on their YouTube channel. And my condolences again to him and his family. Show open tonight with The Judgment Day coming out to the ring. Rhea Ripley. That's one of the highlights of the night. This right here was the highlight of the night. Rhea Ripley was the highlight of the night. The show peaked in the opening segment. Had I known what we were going to be getting the rest of the night, I would have turned it off after the opening segment. I would have done a review just of the Rhea Ripley stuff. She was in the ring. She said that AJ Styles learned what Mommy has learned all along. Mommy knew all along that the Judgment Day runs Raw and Dominic is all man. Finn Balor talked. He said that AJ Styles crumbled under the pressure of facing Dominic. Damian Priest spoke. He told the crowd to rise for the greatest luchador in the history of the business, Dominic Mysterio. And then the floor was his. We had Dominic with a mic in hand. Dominic started to talk. He was booed very loudly. He was being drowned out by boos. It's getting incredible heat. He said the Judgment Day are the only people who believed in him. He said that he proved all of his doubters wrong by pinning AJ Styles clean in the middle of this ring. He said that he won because he is just built differently. And Rhea Ripley said, "Yeah, you are. Oh, my." Dominic called himself this generation's Eddie Guerrero. And he said that Eddie was his generation's Dominic Mysterio. And he got massive heat for those lines, as you would imagine. I thought those were two great lines. And you know that if Eddie were around, he would have fed those lines to him himself. I thought that was great. I will say, yeah, Dominic looks so much more comfortable on the microphone than he did even just a few weeks ago. So you can see it bit by bit, week by week, you know, a little bit at a time, he's coming along. He's getting a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more comfortable. And the only way he becomes more comfortable is to get more mic time. So I thought this was actually one of his better nights, maybe his best. AJ Styles and the Good Brothers came out. AJ told him to shut up. He said that you want to compare yourself to Eddie Guerrero. You're this generation's James Ellsworth. And Luke Gallows called him Jimmy No Chin. Styles said that they would pick the members of the Judgment Day off one by one. Balor said Styles is the one hiding behind the club that he himself started. He said that everybody that came after him in the club is living off his legacy. Carl Anderson spoke up. He said that it's time for Balor to stop talking. Anderson said that he wanted to remind everybody that he is the toughest man in the building, and he called for the ring to clear so that he can start his scheduled match with Finn Balor. One of only two matches, as I mentioned earlier, that we were told about before the show. Triple H has been pretty good about announcing a pretty full card each week. So again, I thought it was very odd that it's 8 o'clock and we only have two matches announced. This was one of them. And by the way, this match here was longer than any match we got on the show last week. Last week was also a little bit weird. Triple H's shows tend to have longer matches. Last week, there wasn't any match that went longer than 14 minutes. This match here alone went 17. So just the opening match alone was longer than anything we got on the show last week. So two commercial breaks later, Anderson got a neck breaker off the ropes for an ear fall. Balor came back with a sling blade and a shotgun dropkick. He went up top for the double stomp, but Anderson cut him off and hit a superplex. Dominic got up on the apron. AJ Styles saw this. He went over, and he tripped Dominic up on the apron. Damian Priest wiped out AJ by hurling him over the announce desk. AJ bounced off the announce desk pretty hard. I think he bounced into a camera guy, or there was somebody off camera he bounced into. Luke Gallows then took out Damian Priest. Rhea Ripley shoved Gallows face first into the ring post. And as Gallows bounced off the ring post, he stumbled into Rhea, who picked him up. She scooped up Luke Gallows. They said the big 300-pounder. If he's not 300, he's pretty close. She scooped the big guy up. for a body slam, and she got him all the way up. This wasn't one of those like Lex Luger fucking hip toss to Yokozuna things. She picked this guy up, and she slammed him down. And kudos to both of them, because it's not just Rhea Ripley is that strong. It's that Luke Gallows is also pretty fucking good at what he does and was able to kind of help her out there and get himself up. And it looked great. It put her over huge. She slammed him. She was mocking the whole too sweet thing. She got a big reaction. The announcers, Corey Graves, sold it like mad. That was awesome. Anderson got Balor up on his shoulders in the ring. Rhea gets into the ring and delivers a low blow to Karl Anderson that the referee did not see. And so down goes Anderson. Balor crawls on top of him, and he gets the pinfall to win the match. They gave Rhea the China spot. I remember when China first came into WWE. I don't remember who she did it to. The very first time she body slammed someone, it might have been one of the Smoking Guns, but she body slammed somebody on TV. She would, you know, go around clotheslining people, beating guys up. And you didn't see a woman on WWE television doing that sort of thing the way that China was when she first came in 97. So that's what this was. This was the China or the Beth Phoenix. I guess it depends on when you came up as a wrestling fan. Some people might say, oh, she's doing Beth Phoenix, right? Because she's the one who injured Beth. And so all of this abuse that she's doling out to all the men who can't fight back is all building to Beth Phoenix eventually making her big comeback, and she'll get into the ring with Rhea Ripley. At some point, somebody's got to pop off and do something about Rhea Ripley. If Randy Orton were around, he wouldn't be taking this shit. He would have laid her ass out a long time ago. So I know it's all building to Beth Phoenix coming back, and Beth is going to be the one to go, get her revenge on Rhea. But at some point, one of these guys has to do something. Because they're getting low blowed, they're getting their fucking ass handed to them, they're getting embarrassed, she's taunting them, go ahead, she's pointing at her jaw. At some point, somebody's got to do something. And when they do, I'm sure it'll get a big reaction. And of course, you'll have people on social media who freak the fuck out, because that's what people do on social media. But somebody has to do something, because she is, she's killing everybody here on this roster. So I know the rumors from a few weeks ago talked about Charlotte Flair eventually when she comes back. WrestleMania next year could be Charlotte Flair and Bianca Belair. And I think Charlotte and Bianca is a fine match at some point. But yeah, I'm watching Rhea on the show tonight, and there's not a doubt in my mind. Rhea Ripley needs to win the Royal Rumble. And it needs to be Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair at WrestleMania. That should be the Raw Women's Championship match. Rhea and Bianca. We were going to get it at Money in the Bank. We didn't get it. Rhea kneed herself in the face and concussed herself. We never got the match. Only recently did Rhea even start wrestling again. Rhea should win the Royal Rumble. Rhea and Bianca. There's your Raw Women's Championship match at WrestleMania. Johnny Gargano. We got a lot of Johnny Gargano on this show. Johnny Gargano is apparently the big jokester. Everything with Johnny Gargano is a joke. A lot of comedy with Gargano on the show tonight. Gargano was shown walking in the back. He had a whistle in his hand. Just what we need. Fans now to start coming to the buildings with fucking whistles. The Miz showed up. He wanted to know what Gargano thinks he knows about Dexter Lumis. Because Gargano was going around talking about how, I want you to tell the truth. And Miz is like, I've told you the truth. I don't know why this guy is targeting me. I don't know. And Gargano insists, yes, you do. You know the truth. The truth shall set you free. I want you to go out there and reveal the truth to the world. So Gargano tells him that. Miz acts like there was no history between him and Lumis. He goes to the ring. After a break, they come back. They show NASCAR Cup Series racer Corey LaJoy. Had to write his name down because I wouldn't know this guy from a fucking hole in the wall, but that's what they said his name is, Corey LaJoy. He looked very happy to be there tonight, more than most people in the crowd based on how quiet they were. So Corey LaJoy is getting the spotlight, right? Until they cut to a much bigger star than him, and they cut to Dale Earnhardt Jr., who is behind the announcers, sitting in the crowd. He gets a nice reaction. He stands up. He's waving, right? Oh, look, it's Dale Earnhardt Jr. The Miz is already in the ring, and the Miz is like, all right, enough. And The Miz says that he would beat Earnhardt in a race in his Tesla. And after he says that, the camera, which is still on Earnhardt, shows him in response to The Miz mouthing off. We see Earnhardt say, "Fuck you," which the camera was sure to pick up. So you didn't hear it, but you see him mouth the words, "Fuck you," to The Miz. That's what I was saying to WWE when this show was over tonight. Fuck you. Fuck you. So that's what Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s contribution was to this show tonight. Miz claimed that Dexter Lumis was after him because of his mind. And Miz said that Lumis couldn't stand it when he shared his expertise with Tommaso Ciampa instead of him. Tommaso Ciampa, who he pointed out, has been missing now for weeks. And he implored people who have any information on his whereabouts to let him know on social media. Johnny Gargano walked out. He said that Miz was full of crap. He said that Ciampa isn't missing. He was just texting with him earlier in the day. He said Ciampa is injured. Miz would know that. So Gargano gets in the ring. He says to Miz, "Just tell the truth. You want us to be finished? You want to be finished with me and Dexter? Just tell the truth." And Miz claimed that he did tell the truth, and that brought out R-Truth. Get it? Because he's going to tell the truth. So here comes R-Truth, who came out to the ring singing his song. He's in his hometown. He's in Charlotte, North Carolina, so they gave him a little moment here on the show tonight. Always good to see Truth, as long as he's not doing the stupid 24/7 Brigade stuff, right? Isn't it funny how that's gone away? Thank you, Triple H. Still like R-Truth. I just didn't like the 24/7 garbage that was going on. It was too fucking lazy. Triple H saw that. He said, "We're not going to do that on TV anymore. We'll do it on the house shows, maybe. We're not going to do that on TV." So R-Truth was on the show tonight. Miz asked R-Truth if he ate so much Carolina comfort food that it clogged his brain. Truth said that he wouldn't let Miz talk down about North Carolina and its mac and cheese. Gargano insulted Miz, who said that he wanted a match with Truth. Gargano and R-Truth said at the same time that Miz can't handle the truth. This was very dumb. So they had a match. The Miz against R-Truth. Welcome to the new Monday Night Raw here in 2022. So they had a match. Truth did his John Cena comeback spots, paying homage to his childhood hero. Miz cut him off with a running knee. Miz all of a sudden was distracted. He was distracted by a hooded figure in the front row, who he assumed was Dexter Lumis. And that was enough of a distraction for R-Truth to schoolboy him and get the 1-2-3. After the match, the hooded man pulled down the hood. It wasn't Dexter Lumis. It was Johnny Gargano. And The Miz could not believe what he saw. So for Mr. Gargano, we go to Mrs. Gargano. We go to a sit-down in the back, Kathy Kelly interviewing Candice LeRae. Candice talked about coming to NXT, or coming from NXT to Monday Night Raw. Talked about expanding her family with her husband, Johnny Gargano. Reminds me of when Vince McMahon, anytime he would show up on the show, he would talk about his family. Because it's a television show, right? You never know who's tuning in for the first time. So you have to identify exactly who it is you're talking about. It wasn't my son, my daughter, my wife. It was my son, Shane, my daughter, Stephanie, my wife, Linda. You had to be specific, right? I mean, who among us don't walk around the house? Let's say you live at home with your mom and your sister, right? Your mom's name is Gladys. Your sister's name is Becky, right? You go downstairs and you say, "Hey, you know, you have guests over or whatever, right? Let's say some of your friends are over, right?" And you all know each other, right? You don't have to identify each other, but you never know who might be listening, right? Well, go talk to my mother, Gladys. Go ask my sister, Becky. Very important. You need to identify people. That's why do you think I name myself at the beginning of every stream? If I don't call myself Solomon Monster, people will be watching these streams wondering, who the fuck am I watching? I don't even know what I'm saying. Remember, I woke up from a deep sleep. I have no idea what I'm saying tonight. Anyway, so Candice LeRae. She said that she had a lot of love from Asuka, Bianca, and Alexa. All of a sudden, Bayley and Damage Control walked into the room. They told Kathy to get lost. Bayley took a seat. And she said that they put Asuka, Alexa, and Becky Lynch all on the bench. That was all Damage Control. Candace asked Bayley what she's trying to prove. She said the only thing they've proven to her is that Io is still untrustworthy, Dakota is still spiteful, and Bayley is still not the women's champion. Bayley stood up and said, "Yet. I am not yet the women's champion." Then she reminded Candace that she had no friends there to help her. She shoved the cameraman down, did Bayley, and we didn't see anything, but we heard a commotion. We heard a scuffle off camera that presumably was Damage Control beating up on Candice LeRae. That's right. Uffman, you know what? Uffman makes a great point. I need to make sure that every now and then on these streams, for the people who don't know who the hell I am, that I let them know who I am.
I'm the Sala Monster, damn it.
That's right. See, so every now and then you just got to remind people. You got to tell them.
I'm the Sala Monster, damn it.
Very important. Identification is very important. Here's my thought on this. We did not see the attack, right? Bayley went out of her way to shove down the cameraman so that we couldn't see. We heard a commotion, but we can't be sure exactly what happened. Later on, they told us that Candice LeRae suffered some kind of ridiculous injury. It was like a sprain of the fucking, you know, the occipital bone in her fucking boob or something. I don't know what the fuck. These stupid nonsensical injuries. I think they go out of their way to come up with the stupidest injury they possibly can. And they say, okay, good. That's like Michael Cole that time with the anal bleeding. So she suffered some kind of stupid injury on this show, right? I don't buy it. I'm not convinced. I don't buy it. I think there's a very good chance Candice LeRae is going to be with Damage Control. I did not see her get attacked. Therefore, I am skeptical. And I think that in the end, we may be getting Candice as a heel, not as a babyface. But we'll see. War Games is coming up. I'm just saying, you got Damage Control and Candice LeRae on one side. On the other side, Becky is going to be back soon. You know, Alexa Bliss and Asuka, they're going to be back at the same time. You got Team Bianca. Bianca, Becky, Asuka, Alexa against Bayley, Dakota, Io, and Candice. I could see that. Now that's 4-on-4. I guess it depends if they're going to do 4-on-4 or 5-on-5, but I think that's the setup for the Women's War Games match, potentially at Survivor Series. Keep an eye on that. We go to a different part of the backstage area. We have Elias. Elias is walking down the hallway and he bumps into Matt Riddle, who is banging on his bongos. So serious Matt Riddle from the Seth Rollins feud is dead. He no longer exists. We're back to goofy Matt Riddle here. So he's banging a lot of comedy on the show. Too much comedy. A little bit of comedy is fine, but I feel like every other segment on the show was comedy. They're starting to slip back into that mode where they think they're Saturday Night Live. That's not good. So he's banging on his bongos. And Elias says to him, look, you know, I'm a serious artist. I have a long history of being interrupted on this show and being disrespected on this show. I know, though, that you and my younger brother, Ezekiel, see, he did it too. He did it too on this show. He didn't just say, my brother. He said, my younger brother, Ezekiel. Again, identification is very important. By the way, he says, my younger brother, Ezekiel, which is kind of strange, right? That implies that he has an older brother as well. Otherwise, he would just say, my brother, Ezekiel. So does he have another brother? Maybe that's Elrod. That's what it is. It's like Kevin Owens said, Elrod. Elrod must be the older brother. That's why he's got to specify. I see. Ezekiel's the younger brother. Elrod is the older brother. I got it. So he says, look, I know you guys were close, so I'm going to let this one slide. But I'm letting you know now, if you ever interrupt me like that again, I'm not going to be so nice. And Chad Gable and Otis, they show up. Gable implied that Elias and Riddle looked like they were in a band. Because Elias has the guitar over his shoulder and Riddle has his bongos, Well, he has his bong, too. So, anyway, this led to a challenge being issued to a match later on between Elias and Chad Gable. We had Austin Theory, who I feel like has not been on Raw very often the last few weeks. Austin Theory was back. He has a beard. Like any good heel, right? You got to have a good beard. That's how you know I'm a babyface. I got no beard. No beard here. White meat babyface. That's what you get here on these streams. Every other podcaster, they have the fucking rat's nest on their fucking face or the hat or whatever. Like, not me. We're clean cut here, baby. White meat babyface. That's what you get here on Sala Monster Sounds Off. Austin Theory against Mustafa Ali. Seth Rollins sat in on commentary and he was extraordinarily annoying. All he was doing, with the cackling and the laughing, all five, I wanted to mute my sound, which eventually I did. Unbelievably annoying, which I guess is the point, but this was to the point that I just didn't want to listen to any of this. So after a break, Theory decided to take a mid-match selfie. He was out on the apron, he was holding his phone up, and you can see Ali in the background coming in. He drop-kicked him off, I think he drop-kicked him, off the apron, down to the floor went Theory. Ali went for a DDT after missing a 450 splash. Theory, though, countered into a neckbreaker for two. Rollins was encouraging Theory. He was like a cheerleader for him outside the ring. And he was encouraging Theory to finish this guy off. Ali, though, countered his finisher, hit a backstabber. Ali went to the top rope. Rollins distracted the referee. Tell me if you've heard me sing this song before. That allowed Theory to trip Ali off the top rope. Theory hit his A-Town Down finish, and he picked up the win. Rollins got in the ring after, and he raised Theory's hand. Three matches on this show so far. Three matches. Three distraction or interference finishes. Three for three. And not in a good way. Three for three on this show. We would not be done yet. Rollins attacked Ali. He dumped him over the barricade into the timekeeper's area. Rollins told Ali to stay down. When Ali stood up, yeah, Rollins attacked him again, told him that he doesn't belong in my WWE. Yeah, yeah. Rollins grabbed his United States... yeah, yeah. There it is. Yeah, yeah. Magnanimous Leonard with the Bushwhacker Sala Monster Super Chat. Now, that's comedy. You want comedy? That's comedy right there. That's what that is.
I'm the Sala Monster, damn it.
So, Rollins grabbed his U.S. belt, and he started to head to the back. Ali, I don't know, he must have gone through the crowd or something and circled around, but he cut him off. Before Rollins can actually go backstage, Ali came back from out of nowhere. He came back from the dead, and he attacked Rollins, and he took him, and he threw him into the LED boards, and Rollins eventually, you know, he made his way... to the back. Referees had to hold back Ali. Still not much of a reaction for Ali. These fans really don't seem to give a shit about this guy. It's really sad. It's not all his fault. It's just so many times you start and you stop and you just book this guy at a certain level. It's very hard. It's very hard to break out of that. And you could pick other guys on the roster over the years. Dolph Ziggler's a great example of right? Start and stop pushes, and at times he was super over. At times, Ziggler was way more over than Ali has ever been. But they didn't go all the way with him. And after 10 years, people just, they can't, you know, see you at anything above a certain level, and I feel like that's kind of where Ali is. So it's nice that they're trying with him, and I want them to continue to try. It's just the crowds are not really responding yet. But they are at least building to a U.S. title match. Again, I presume at Crown Jewel between these two, but they haven't made that official yet. Maybe for him, they need some kind of video package. Maybe a video package for Ali would do him some good. I'll tell you something. You know, Ali himself has put together some tremendous video packages. Back when WWE wasn't really doing anything with him, he has a friend of his who I think is a cinematographer. And he posted stuff on social media that looked professionally done, like WWE could have put it together themselves. And this guy was doing it himself. He was coming up with the concept and the creative for it. Maybe just give Ali a fucking camera and let him go off and let him shoot his own 2 or 3 minute vignette just explaining his story. Let him talk to us. Let him tell us his story. in his own way. You know, maybe we need to, you know, start seeing some of that instead of just throwing him out there for random matches on TV that just aren't getting over. Backstage, The Miz accused Johnny Gargano of deceiving him based on what happened at the end of Miz's match. Gargano said that Miz has been deceiving everybody, and Miz stormed off. JBL and Baron Corbin showed up. JBL called Gargano an internet hero and an independent darling. Call him an indie darling. He said that Gargano had to spend 10 years in single A while he and Corbin went straight to the big leagues. JBL told Gargano that when he sees a Hall of Famer backstage, show respect. Shake that person's hand. Gargano said that he was 8 years old because JBL made a comment. And he said that if this were the Attitude Era, you'd be carrying my bags. So Gargano said, well, I was 8 years old during the Attitude Era, but point well taken. He also referred to JBL as MC Hammer Pants, which was a reference to JBL's, I think his suit pants last week were very baggy. They looked like they were too big for his body. He also wondered what Corbin's newest name was since he changes it so often. He didn't know, are you happy? Are you the king? Are you constable? Are you Boren? He goes, oh, I mean Baron. I'm like, nope, you had it right the first time. It's Boren Corbin. Corbin went to go respond, and JBL said, nope. Corbin never said anything on this show today. JBL did all the talking. So JBL responded, and he told Gargano, we'll see Johnny wrestling out there later on tonight. We had Omos and MVP out for what was a 4-on-1 handicap match. It was around this time that I had my pillow. Actually, there's a pillow attached to the chair behind me right there, but I had like a real pillow. Not that my pillow shit. I had that. I was getting comfy. I said, here we go. This is it. This is where I conk out for the night. Thankfully, this was quick, though. This didn't even go a full 2 minutes. But they had these four local yokels in the ring who were going to be annihilated by Omos. And MVP was talking about the segment from SmackDown on Friday when Omos went face to chest with Braun Strowman. And he shoved Braun Strowman out of the ring in a big show of strength. And basically his message to these four guys was, if you saw what happened on Friday, what makes you think that you're going to be able to do anything with this guy? If Braun Strowman could. Well, spoiler, they couldn't do shit. And Omos destroyed them all in less than 2 minutes, and that's really all that there is to say about that. We had Elias against Chad Gable. This went to a commercial break after Elias fell out of the ring when Otis pulled the top rope down on him. So anyway, we come back. Gable was in control after the break, hit a flying headbutt. Elias made a comeback. Another distraction, though, allowed Gable to apply an ankle lock until Elias slipped out. Gable went for a moonsault. Elias caught him in midair with a knee strike, and he hit the drift away, got the pin. Otis and Gable immediately, when the match was over, immediately attacked Elias. And so that was the cue for Matt Riddle to come out to make the save. He took out the Alpha Academy with a dive. We go to the back. And the OC is in the trainer's room. And Carl Anderson is in great distress. I call this Ghetto's Revenge. He's holding his balls. He's got an ice pack on his balls after what happened earlier tonight at the hands of Rhea Ripley. There are a lot of men out there, a lot of very horny men who would love for Rhea Ripley to give them a low blow. Carl Anderson didn't look like he enjoyed that very much, though. He was in great pain. And he was whimpering, and AJ admitted they have a Rhea problem, and Gallows wasn't very worried. He said that, I'm the best with women, right? Oh, he's a ladies man, this guy. He goes, I'll be back. I'm going to go smooth things over. I'm going to go take care of things. And off goes Gallows. Even though AJ pointed out this woman body slams you, he goes, well, that's my language. She speaks my language. Let me go smooth things over here. And off he goes. And Anderson was baffled by this because he said that Gallows was actually the worst with women. So we come back after a break, And Gallows limps back into the trainer's room. Now he's holding his balls. Rhea Ripley is going ball crazy on this show. She's going after everybody's balls. I think Rhea has bigger balls than everybody on the roster put together. But she obviously did not appreciate Gallows trying to smooth things over. So now he's back. He's holding his balls. He took the ice pack from Carl Anderson to put on his own sack. AJ said that they knew they had to do something about their Rhea problem. I'm telling you, man, this woman is a menace. I think I love her even more. JBL was in the ring. He called the people of North Carolina losers. Oh, I haven't heard that before. Holy shit. I mean, though, hey, come on now. Let's not go too crazy here. So he called them losers. He noted that Johnny Gargano was from Cleveland, and Cleveland's former quarterback Baker Mayfield was now leading the Carolina Panthers to a losing 2-5 record. And they also turned, he said, Michael Jordan into a loser because Charlotte is where dreams go to die. And he's out there, and he starts going off on millennials and people being soft and their safe spaces. And I'm thinking to myself, he's doing Dan Lambert. That's what he's doing. He's out there doing his best Dan Lambert impersonation is really all this promo turned into here. So finally, he introduced the Baron Corbin for his match with Johnny Gargano. JBL joined on commentary. He's still out there calling Kevin Patrick Shamrock, which I get a kick out of. Kevin Patrick, again, it's only been a few weeks. This ain't going to work. This just ain't going to work. So JBL made a million references to Gargano wrestling in single A, and he made more references to if this was the Attitude Era, he'd be carrying my bags. You know, he's going to have to shake his material up a little bit. We heard that earlier in the night already. They went to a break after Corbin slammed Gargano onto the announce desk. Gargano came back. Corbin, though, hit deep six for a near fall. They fought outside the ring. Gargano got the upper hand after Corbin went into the steel ring steps. Gargano climbed on top of the announce desk. He looked down, and he saw JBL's cowboy hat. And so he bent down. He picked up the cowboy hat. He put it on his head. He started doing a little dance. Right? He had the cowboy hat on. He's doing a little dance. I don't know what he was doing, but he was kind of going like this a little bit. And he jumped off the announce desk. He gave Corbin a tornado DDT. The hat flew off. Gargano went to go give JBL his hat back, but he said, nope, psych. And he took it, kept it for himself, climbed up on the apron. Now, this pissed off JBL. This angered Bradshaw, who threw his headset down, and with the referee distracted, stop me if you've heard that before, he goes over and he trips up Johnny Gargano on the apron, right? Same thing we saw with AJ and Dominic in the opening match, right? He kind of swept his leg out from under him and tripped him up on the apron. And back inside the ring, Corbin hit the end of days for the win. That is the fourth distraction or interference finish of the night. We were not done yet. Oh no, we were going for a record tonight here on this show. Backstage, The Miz gave Gargano a get well card for Candace, what happened to his wife earlier tonight, even though we didn't see it. And he said, this is from me and Maurice. Which, by the way, just thinking about this. So he has a Get Well Soon card, right? Does he just walk around everywhere he goes with a fucking Get Well Soon card? Especially one from him and his wife. Did he leave the building to go to fucking Walgreens to buy a card and then rush back to the arena? Maybe he's got a whole stack of cards for different occasions in his bag. I mean, hey, you never know. You get a get well soon card, happy birthday card, happy anniversary card, condolence card. Anybody in the locker room needs one? Here you go. Just go to Mike. Mike's got all the cards, right? Back in the 80s, it used to be cocaine and fucking pills. Now it's fucking greeting cards. Miz is your guy. I just watched Jim Brunzell on the AWA roundtable, Tales from the Territories, talking about how he was basically the resident pharmacist for all the boys in the AWA. If you needed pills, if you needed uppers, if you needed downers, if you needed fucking Quaaludes, you went to Jim Brunzell. You need a greeting card. You need something from fucking Hallmark. You go to The Miz. The business has changed. So anyway, Gargano said that was very nice of him to do that. Miz wanted to hash things out. Gargano said, well, it's up to you. All you need to do is show up on TV next week and tell the truth. And if you don't, I'm going to. And Miz stormed off. Gargano opened the card first, and he said, you didn't even sign it. You're rich. You could have at least put money in. And he walked off. We got a video package for Brock Lesnar against Baron Corbin. Brock Lesnar against Baron Corbin. What a fucking terrible match. Oh my God, I hope I didn't just will that into existence. Holy shit. Brock Lesnar and Baron Corbin in Saudi Arabia. Can you even imagine? We got a video package for Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley for Crown Jewel, a match I am looking forward to. And they announced that Brock is going to be back on Raw next Monday night. It's the Halloween episode. I'm hoping Brock Lesnar shows up in costume next week, dressed up as Paul Heyman. Main event was, mercifully, the main event, finally, was Bianca Belair against Bayley. This was non-title. Bayley entered for the main event at 10:29 p.m. The match did not begin until 10:37 p.m. They got time. They gave them over 20. It was like 23 minutes they gave them here for this main event. They made the most of it, even though the crowd was mostly comatose for it. Bayley went for the KOD. Bianca landed on her feet, and she used Bayley's move against her, the Bayley to belly for a near fall. Bianca was on top. There was a brief distraction by Io. A lot of very distracted people on the show. Briefly distracted by Io Sky. Bayley to belly from the middle rope by Bayley. But Bianca managed to kick out. Bayley was shouting instructions at this point to her damage control buddies, telling them to clean off the announce desk. And so they cleaned off all the debris from on top of the broadcast table. Bianca, though, fought both of them off. And then she grabbed Bayley. Hoisted her up. She powerbombed her on top of the announce desk. It was kind of weak. Of course, the table didn't break. Muscled her back up. Powerbombed her into the ring post. And then dropped her face first on the ring apron. And she rolled Bayley back inside. Bianca was going to climb back in. Io and Dakota, though, grabbed a hold of her. And brought her backwards by the announce table. Io was holding her. Dakota came in with the kick. The running kick to the face. And they tossed Bianca back into the ring. So the referee saw what was going on here. And he jumps out of the ring and he's yelling at them and saying, I saw that. He goes, you guys are out of here. You guys are rejected. But he turns around. And as he turns around and Dakota and Io turn around, there is a woman. And we can't see who it is at first. But there is a woman who comes off the top rope to the floor with a high cross body. And wipes out all three, including the ref. Right, so the tag team champions are down. The referee is down. We still don't know exactly who this woman is. Inside the ring, Bayley goes for the rose plant. Bianca stuffs it, hits the KOD, has the match won, but there's no referee. So Bianca eventually, she goes over to the ropes to try to get the ref. But we see that the woman who did the crossbody off the top is Nikki Cross. We didn't recognize her because she was dressed like a normal fucking human being. It's crazy Nikki. And Nikki Cross hits a spinning neck breaker to Bianca. Bayley crawls over, makes the cover. Here comes Jessica Carr, another referee coming from the back. Evidently, it is impossible for a referee to come out and call for the disqualification. So they come down and Jessica Carr counts the three. Bayley pins Bianca Belair, non-title. She pins Bianca. We end the night with 5 distraction or interference finishes. I believe that is, it could be tied for the record. It could be the new record. I'm pretty sure it's in record territory here for this 3-hour show. 5 matches that end virtually the same way. So at first it looked like this was Nikki Cross joining Damage Control, which would kind of blow my whole prediction of Candice LeRae going heel out of the water. But then Nikki attacked Bayley because she's fucking crazy. And she starts hammering away at her and she kicks her jacket off and she throws her jacket on Bayley and she's beating her up. And the show ends with the focus being on Nikki Cross. And I have said for a long time that the superhero gimmick was so played out and I wanted to see a return to the old Nikki Cross. And that's what we got here. We got crazy Nikki. So that's a good thing. They actually ended it on a positive note. But that doesn't make up for the rest of what we got tonight, which was just a very boring television show. And I'm not even saying that everything they did on the show was bad. They were trying to, you know, some character and story development with some of these things, trying to move things along at a glacial pace. It just wasn't very interesting. It's a fucking bore. I felt like I was watching Rampage. At least Rampage is an hour. Rampage is an hour, and Rampage actually goes very quickly. This show felt like it would never end. And the worst kind of show that you can put on, it's not even good show, bad show. It's boring. It's a boring show. A show where the fans just sit on their hands and they don't react to anything. That's the worst kind of show you can give them. So outside of a few moments like that on the show, you know, Dominic got great heat. You know, the Rhea, I talked about the Rhea spot in the opening match. I mean, there were moments on the show like that where people were reacting and there were... You know, there was some heat, but on the whole, this was, look, they can't all be winners. Not every week is going to be a home run, but that is now 2 weeks in a row that Raw has slipped back into Monday Night Bore territory. Three victims makes a serial killer. Then we got a pattern. So I'm hoping they can shape up for the Halloween show next week. I'm hoping that we get a better Halloween next Monday than we did for Michael Myers this year. Very curious to see what the Twitter poll results are. I feel like I'm not alone in my sentiment for this show. Oh, I am not. That is the worst Raw rating in a very, very, very long time. And deservedly so. 19% thumbs up. For tonight's show. This is a show, by the way, that was getting 70-80% thumbs up scores only a matter of weeks ago. We have already reverted back to 19% thumbs up, 35% thumbs in the middle, and 45% thumbs down. That is a decidedly awful score. Yes, Big E's reaction on your screen is exactly that. That's the perfect GIF here. Hey, Thomas Francis, thank you for the sub. Big E is shocked by that Monday Night Raw score. But he shouldn't be if you watch the show. Hey, Audrey and Gracie just subscribed. Welcome, Audrey and Gracie, coming to the channel. They have awoken from their stupor, just as I did. I woke up just in time to come do this stream. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. What do you say? What do you even say to that, right? You just hope that they shape up next week and we forget about what happened today. Oh, boy. I want to read your super chats. That sounds exciting to me. That's what I want to do. Give me back shots, $5 super chat. Wants me to rank... in terms of who I think would pull off the best gimmick imitation. Hollywood, Austin, Redneck Rock, Heartbreak Kid, Angle, and Olympic Geek, HBK. Well, we already had Hollywood, Austin. We had the Hollywood Blondes back in WCW, and he pulled it off pretty well. So I'm gonna go Hollywood, Austin. Because I already have proof that he could pull it off. Hey, Fire Panda. Thank you for the five. We've got, it said that Solomonster was asked to participate in the Summer Olympics. Year is unknown. He declined the offer, claiming it would be too easy. Love Lie, I want to see an Omos and Top Dollar superplex. I'd like to see Omos and Top Dollar off my TV. Shinakuma, $5 super chat. Trying to keep my streak of donations of every stream you put out. Been going strong since WrestleMania season, but been a member for 8 years. Cheers. Hey, Shin. I gave you another shout-out on the podcast on Sunday. You're becoming a very well-known name when I do roll call on Sundays. Jay Baker says Raw is snore. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Kevin Dunn's Beaver. Nikki cannot save this terrible group. Well, I don't think Nikki is part of the group. Ben Manning. Solid Monster, I've been listening to you for years. Last year was rough as I lost my fiance to COVID, but your podcast has and is continuing to help. Ben, I'm very sorry to hear that. That is awful. That sucks. Nothing I can say that's going to make that any better, but I thank you for the kind words, and I'm glad that the streams and the podcast can be of help to you in some way. That at least makes me happy. Even if it can be a help in some small way just to take your mind off things, then I'm happy to hear that, but I'm very sorry. Scotty Clash with the $1.99. Today is my 20th birthday. Just want to send some love. Happy birthday, Scotty. 20 years old today. Michael Cuomo says, we are live, pal. Yes, we are. We are live every Monday night. We are live. As Jim Ross once told Sid, we're live, pal. You can't do that promo over again. We're live. Tripod says, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. Rizzo says, wake up. This is going to be really awkward for people who only listen to the podcast. Well, we got the lullaby music in there, right? It might lull them to sleep. Wink the Cosmic Grandma. Corbin's gimmick is to dress like Run DMC. He wishes he could pull off Run DMC. How dare you sully the good name of Run DMC? Tyler, $4.99. People were hyping Sasha and Naomi to return on Raw tonight. Who are these people? What people are you referring to? I would love to know who these people are. I didn't hear anything. I didn't see anything on social media. I didn't hear a word about Sasha Banks even mentioned all throughout the entire day, or Naomi. I have no idea who these people are. I think you need to follow some new people. Sean D, this man is dead tired. Here's a five for staying up anyway. You guys keep me awake. You guys are keeping me alive tonight. Hit that like button, by the way, because it'll help in the algorithm. Always want to get the sound off in the algorithm, right? So hit that like button. Hulkling 93, almost stopped Halloween Ends 30 minutes in. Remember Vader's self-burial promo after he lost to Kane? If Michael spoke, he should have cut that promo. Poor Vader. He lost. He went outside. Michael Cole was there to interview him, and he said, I'm just a fat piece of shit. Well, Michael wasn't fat in the movie, though. He wouldn't call himself, he would call himself maybe an old piece of shit. And that would be very sad. But I don't think he would call himself a fat piece of shit. Magnanimous Leonard Burnley. Me and Alan Cotton got to meet Bret Hart yesterday. The most awesome moment of our fandom. Been a huge fan for the last few years. Solid Monster for president. Well, that's very cool. I got to meet Bret many years ago. And I'm trying to think if it was 2006 or 2009, maybe 2008. It was somewhere around there. It was a while ago, though. But I saw the pictures that Dax Harwood put up on Twitter where it was him and Cash and Bret and Bret's wife. And I don't know where they met up, but they met up and they were sharing a drink. It might have been that, I don't know if it's a bourbon or a whiskey that Bret is now selling or whatever it might be. They were sharing a drink. They had the biggest smile on their faces. You don't see FTR with big cheesy smiles on their faces very often. When they meet Bret Hart, though, they're geeking out like crazy, man. They are on cloud nine. Magnanimous, thank you. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, your new gimmick don't work for me, brother. King Bling Blah, name three ways to make Raw less boring. Just give us less of what we got tonight. Very simple. Bernard Frederick, $5 super chat. I wasn't feeling the show tonight. I said last week, not seeing R-Truth in a while. I wish they would have used him better. And my condolences, he says, to Kevin Nash. King Bling Blah, imagine if Eddie was around. Eddie, Ray, and Dominic. I'm telling you, Eddie would have been the one to supply him with the lines for that promo. You kidding me? Tripod says, you know who did not give Brett a get well card? Bill Goldberg. Yeah, I don't think Goldberg was walking around with fucking get well cards in it. Actually, he should have been. He probably should have been. But I don't think he was walking around with get well cards in his bag when he was in WCW. King Bling Blah, buy, sell, rent on what you would do. Mania title match. Rock and Roman. Roman and Cody. Cody against Seth. Roman versus Rock non-title. Is that a separate option? I'm not sure what you're... I mean, look, if it's me personally. You get two matches out of it if you do Cody and Seth. If Seth... Forget the U.S. title. If they split the titles the way that I suggested they do it at Survivor Series before I knew they were going to do War Games... And people were pitching the whole ladder match. They both, you know, they pull down the belts and Roman pulls down the Universal. Seth pulls down the WWE. Who won? Well, both guys won. And Roman takes one belt. Seth takes the other. Now Seth is the WWE champion. Cody comes back, wins the Rumble. He challenges Seth at WrestleMania, beats Seth again, wins the championship. Roman gets to go off and do his match with The Rock. It could be non-title. You get two big matches out of it. That would be the ideal scenario. That would be the ideal scenario. Roman and Cody, though, is the match that I would do. But as I said on the podcast this weekend, if they can get The Rock, if The Rock can clear his schedule and he can do WrestleMania, he's only going to wrestle one person. That person is Roman Reigns, then that is the match that you do. Crazy with the $5 super chat. It's funny that JBL compares today's wrestling to the Attitude Era, and the matches tonight had a lot of interference finishes like the Attitude Era. And somehow, this show did not feel nearly as exciting. Slim Yoshi, this show felt like filler. If anything proves to me that SmackDown is still the A show. Also, where was my boy Kevin Owens? He was on NXT this week. He's been off Raw for weeks. But they made sure they got him on NXT to do a KO show on Tuesday. I would like to think they're just waiting until we get closer to Survivor Series and he'll end up on the babyface team opposite the Bloodline. You get KO involved in that War Games match. Juan Ocampo, bear down, Chicago Bears, 8 beers down, you are the man. I heard a rumor that the Bears beat the Patriots. Is that true? Did the Bears beat the Patriots? Huh. Is that true? Richie Rich over here. Who buried Michael Myers the most? Busta Rhymes or Corey? Oh, Corey. Corey by far. Hey, at least Busta Rhymes is Busta Rhymes. Corey is a fucking geek. Busta Rhymes ain't no geek. Although he still had no business being in a Halloween movie. But the answer is Corey. Fire Panda had to go way back for this. It said that Solomonster not only watched Gorgeous George's first match, but booked it as well. This is from Ancient Scholar Fire Panda. Thank you for the 5-spot. Joseph Brooks, do you think, depending on how good the match is, we could get a third and final, LOL, final doesn't exist in wrestling, between Lashley and Lesnar? Yeah, sure. I mean, it's possible. I mean, Lashley won the first match. Brock is not losing this one. If they go one win apiece, you could always do the rubber match. Absolutely. Or you can have them collide in the Royal Rumble match. Yeah, maybe one of them is number one, the other one's number two. Can always do something like that. King Bling Blah, does Ali win the U.S. title and go heel? Remember the video promo that he posted on Twitter years ago, almost like a political style heel promo. That is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Aussie of Steel, Raw was a big old snooze fest. Easily the worst of the Triple H era thus far. Easily, yes. It was the worst match of the Triple H era thus far. That is true. Luis, hey, what's going on, Luis? He's been a channel member for 18 months. Luis, I appreciate the hell out of you for that. Says, is Nikki Cross back to being a heel or a babyface? I guess we'll have to tune in next week to find out. That's what you call a bit of a cliffhanger ending there. We don't know exactly what she's going to do. I think she's nuts, so I think she's going to be not a heel or a babyface. I think she'll be right there in the middle. And Scotty Clash, Roman loses the Universal title. Who will beat him? That is the million-dollar question. I don't know. He's beaten almost everybody there is to beat. I'd say Cody, but Cody really, it's not about the Universal title with Cody. The Universal title means nothing to Cody Rhodes. Now, with Cody, it's about the WWE title, which Roman has, but I don't know that Cody needs both belts. I keep coming back to Cody. I think they're going to build his return up like they did Triple H. When Triple H came back at the beginning of 02 from the first quad tear, they gave him the video package, remember, with U2, Beautiful Day. They really built this return up, and then he came out of Madison Square Garden, got that big reaction. I think they're going to try to build the Cody Rhodes return like they did Triple H, and if he makes it back in time, I don't see anybody being a bigger favorite to win the Royal Rumble match than him. So you're going to have a very big name in Cody, who is a fresh opponent for Roman Reigns. Telling you, they can't get The Rock. Cody is going to make the best opponent for him. Cody Rhodes. Joseph Brooks. Buy or sell on who is the more death-defying and high-flying wrestler, Jeff Hardy or Sabu? I mean, I'd say that they both took equally stupid risks in their career. Sabu did a lot of hardcore stuff. Yeah, just going through tables and barbed wire and stuff like that. Jeff was more, it's like he had a death wish. He's more of an adrenaline junkie. I don't look at Sabu as an adrenaline junkie. I just look at Sabu as, your typical hardcore wrestler who just wants to fucking dive through tables and slice himself open. Jeff Hardy wasn't so much about going through tables and slicing himself open. It was more like, how high can I climb? What can I jump off of? What crazy spot can I do? It's like Darby Allin, but Darby is like Jeff on steroids when it comes to that. So I would say Jeff. We've got Fire Panda. Not so ancient, but it is said that after Hell in a Cell 2019, Solomonster cried himself to sleep out of pure anger and sadness. That is true. Richie with the $10 super chat. Hey, Richie, thank you, brother. Also, did you think, like me, that Halloween Ends marketing and promotion lied to us with the posters and everything? At least Halloween 3 never promoted Michael Myers in the movie. That's true. People just sort of assumed that he would be in the movie, and I can understand why. It's called Halloween. But they never said Michael Myers was in Halloween 3. In this movie, they really, in the commercials, made you think this is purely, it's Michael and Laurie, right? It's the final battle here with Michael and Laurie. And it ended up being the Corey story. Nobody gives a shit about Corey. Never forget Sabu once tore his bicep in a match, taped it back together, and finished the match. Yeah, he's out of his mind. He's out of his mind. Bob the Builder, who do you think Jericho faces at Full Gear? Well, we have Full Gear in mid-November. We have Final Battle on December 10th. And I assume he'll be on both shows, defending the Ring of Honor World title. I think... I mean, again, Jericho and Samoa Joe would be a big match they could do. I talked about this on Sunday. You know, somebody emailed me and asked me, who could Jericho go up against? Is it Adam Cole? Is it someone like Joe? Adam Cole wouldn't make any sense because Adam Cole's a heel. But Joe would make sense as an opponent. I pitched Nigel McGuinness, and that's just my pie in the sky, like, you know, former ROH champion thing, Nigel McGuinness. I think that could be some buys for the ROH pay-per-view with that audience. I think they would buy into that. Full Gear, they're not going to do the Daniel Garcia match. That's way too soon. Jericho and Danielson has already been done three different times. Jericho and it's a former Ring of Honor world champion. It kind of narrows things down a little bit. I keep coming back to Joe. I know Joe has the TV title. I'd have to see that list again of the former champs. I thought Jay Lethal was going babyface, and apparently not. Apparently he's just back to being a heel. So I don't think it'll be Jay Lethal. So much for that. Well, you know what? Based on the angle they did on TV, I guess Jerry Lynn. They were kind of teasing that maybe it would be Jerry Lynn. Well, we'll see. I mean, Jerry Lynn hasn't wrestled in a very long time. I suppose he could always get back in the ring for a match with Jericho. It's very possible. So maybe it's Jerry Lynn. Hey, look, never forget, Ricky Steamboat came back after many, many years away, and Jericho gave him a hell of a match when they wrestled back in 2009. Maybe he could do the same for Jerry Lynn. We'll see. Spike Branson. I don't know what the status of that is. I don't know. I don't deal with anybody that high up. I deal with the promoter. That's my boss. Orwizzle 24 on a poll match. RVD against Matt Riddle. Who wins? On a poll match? Blank on a poll. Blank on a poll match. RVD against Matt Riddle. Who wins? What? Like weed on a poll? Is that what you're implying there? Well, Sabu will fall off the fucking rope, so I'm going to go with Matt Riddle. Clay V Man 07, Death Battle is doing a Halloween episode. Jason Voorhees against Michael Myers. What is Death Battle? I don't know what Death Battle is. But it sounds like something that I probably would like. Bernard says, you might have. Yeah, you might have heard it. It's possible that there's some commercial that uses it. I have no idea where you would have heard it, but it's possible. It's funny, you know, that when WWE would use the Hardy Boys music when they first debuted, and then it just kind of stuck with them for their entire career, that's production music. And I would hear that music in TV bumpers and commercials. And I said, man, that's the Hardy Boys theme. And then I said, well, no, it's not really the Hardy Boys theme. It's just stock music that they used for the Hardys many years ago, and it just kind of stuck. But I hear that all the time, you know, in TV bumpers and commercials and stuff. Power Spying Games, Halloween Ends or Jason Goes to Hell? Which was the worst film? The thing is, like, this was the final film in a trilogy. And so to do what they did in this film and execute it in the way that they did was horrible. So this is worse than that. Jason Goes to Hell, that was the ninth movie. That wasn't part of a trilogy. It was just the next movie. And I didn't like that movie very much either, although it had a pretty neat ending, though, with the whole Freddy tie-in. They were both terrible, but Halloween Ends was worse just because of what it should have been as the final movie in the story, the final chapter in the story of Michael and Laurie, and to see, you know, how it went. They're never going to do another Michael Myers movie with Jamie Lee Curtis again. That was the last one. We'll have plenty of other Michael Myers movies, but never again with Jamie Lee Curtis. And to see what they came up with there was very disappointing. So I have to go Halloween Ends on that. Aussie of Steel, non-wrestling question, most overrated TV show of all time. Friends. Hey, Louie. Louie with the $4.99. Tonight's Raw proved that not every show will be a grand slam, and that's okay. You win some, you lose some. Nikki's return was cool, though. Yes, not every show is going to be a home run, but you would hope that these shows can at least not put you to sleep. I saw most of Knives Out. I didn't finish it. I know there's a Knives Out 2. But I did see, I think, half of Knives Out, and then I just kind of lost interest. I never went back to it. So maybe I should rewatch it. But no, I never finished it, though. Hey, low key, don't make fun of me. That's my diesel Mack truck sound effect, okay? That's what it is right there. There you go. That means get out the way. You're driving too slow. All right, I'm being told in the chat that we have in fact broken the goal for tonight. You guys have smashed the 500 like goal, which means that we are getting a Be the Booker tonight. So congrats. Thank you for that. Again, it does help out with the algorithm and gets our videos in the recommended column on YouTube when you hit the like button. It does mean it's not just the vanity thing. It actually helps out the videos. So go ahead and do that. Nick Grosso, look at this, dropping $9.99 on the chat here. Glad to see Crazy Nikki Cross back, but I have a feeling that she is going to be a fall girl for a triple threat with Bianca and Bayley. I agree with you about Candice LeRae. Her gimmick is not as a face. Yeah, again, just the way they handle that whole thing, I'm thinking she's going heel. The Last House on the Right with the $4.99. Mr. Monster. I think the Sammy and BL story will swerve us all. He's not going to get beat up. Oh, Sammy and the Bloodline. I thought you were talking about Sammy Guevara. I'm like, Sammy and BL? Who's BL? I think the Sammy and Bloodline story will swerve us. He's not going to get beat up. I think he's there to break up the Bloodline and turn them on Roman. Well, I mean, that would be playing the long game. Possible. It's very possible. Look, it's my favorite story in all of wrestling, so I'm sure there's a lot of thought being put into it. Maybe they just assumed that it would be too predictable, and maybe they decide to go where he's almost like Kurt Angle was to the Alliance during the invasion, where he was a mole who was kind of, you know, poisoning them from within. Anything is possible. It is the best storyline going in all of wrestling right now. It's my favorite thing on any wrestling show. Dr. Dakota, for no reason, it is Goldberg's fault for stalling Solid Monster. Currently looking for a new place to live, but will try to be here. Good luck. Inventory sucks. I don't know where you live, but inventory in New York sucks. It's total shit. This entire market is complete shit. Bob the Builder, last one. Who does Danielson face at Full Gear? Your guess is as good as mine. I have no idea. I mean, Garcia would make the most sense to me, but it's a match we've seen before. It would feel like you're just going back to the same well again, but based on what he did to him. But then you got Wheeler Yuta. Don't forget Yuta. So actually, the more I think about this, I think there's actually a better chance that we get a match with Danielson and Yuta, kind of Blackpool Combat Club against Blackpool Combat Club. Yuta was showing jealousy on Dynamite last week when they did the sit-down interview. They didn't do a sit-down interview with Danielson and Yuta for nothing, right? They sat them down in that segment for a reason, and Yuta stormed off at the end of it. So actually, I'm thinking maybe Danielson and Wheeler Yuta. I think that's going to be the match. Beowulf, you bought your house back in 2004? Well, be lucky you don't have to buy a house here in 2022. Anyway, you guys know the drill. We did it. It's go around the horn here. It's time to take the wheel for a spin. It is time to be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
We begin, as we always do, with the men's Be the Booker. We are going to see where the wheel lands. We're going to try to book ourselves a men's, women's, and tag team match tonight. And I'm going to try to book the best possible match that I can for you guys, because I love each and every one of you. And I don't want to book a card as shitty as the one that WWE gave us tonight. So let's hope I can do a better job. We begin with Drew McIntyre, the Scottish psychopath, former WWE champion, Drew McIntyre, who is now the number two babyface on SmackDown. Per PW Insider earlier today, guess who the number one babyface is on SmackDown internally? Bray Wyatt. Drew McIntyre now is number two. He'll be stepping into the ring with the gobbledygooker. Drew McIntyre just dropped from the number two babyface to the number 22 babyface by being booked against the gobbledygooker. He must have spilled coffee on somebody in the back, pissed in someone's cereal. I don't know what he did to deserve that. But Drew McIntyre has slid down to main event, wrestling the gobbledygooker. Poor Drew McIntyre. Over on the ladies' side, we begin with Dana Brooke. Well, for shits and giggles, let's see who her opponent is going to be. Dana Brooke going to go one-on-one with Stacy Keibler. Well, we'll keep the buzzer. Well, we'll do it again. Love me some Stacy Keibler, but as a wrestler, that's no buys. Let's go to the tag teams. Take this thing for a spin. Wind it up, wind it up, wind it up. Land on the Alpha Academy. Chad Gable and Otis, former Raw Tag Team Champions. Alpha Academy. I like Alpha Academy. Alpha Academy going one-on-one, or not one-on-one, two-on-two, with the Real Americans, Claudio and Jake. I'm using their AEW names here. Claudio and Jake Hager, Cesaro and Jack Swagger. You know what? That gets the bell. Finally, we got one. We got one. We had to win one. My God, we had to at least have one. Jeez Louise, come on. Cameron Spencer wants to know, how was the show tonight? I'll let you guys fill him in on that. Hey, GCC305, talk about Drew McIntyre's fall from grace. To go from 60-something thousand people at Clash at the Castle against Roman Reigns in the main event to wrestling the gobbledygooker. Booker Solomonster has it in for Drew McIntyre. Oh my goodness. What a night. What a night. What a terrible night. Not on here, though. It's always fun hanging out with you guys. Even you guys can make a horrible show at least somewhat fun after the fact. But that show was a fucking bore, man. I could have caught up on some valuable, much-needed sleep tonight. But in any event, I'll be back with you. We're going to do it all over again on Wednesday. I'll tell you what, the Dynamite card on Wednesday is looking great. We've got Moxley against Penta. We've got Danielson against Sammy Guevara. Let me see if I can bring the full card up here. Because they got a pretty loaded fucking card for Dynamite on Wednesday. I will read you the full lineup right now. Here we go. All right, so here is the current card for Dynamite on Wednesday. Moxley and Penta, Danielson and Guevara. We've got FTR against Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland, which is going to be a hell of a fucking match. We've got Jamie Hayter Wrestling Riho, and we have Jericho and Daniel Garcia against Claudio and Wheeler Yuta, plus MJF. That's a pretty damn good lineup for Wednesday. So I am very much looking forward to that Dynamite show. And then on Friday, it's going to be SmackDown. And then we only have one stream left in the month of January. In the month of October, it's the Halloween stream. Next Monday. I want everybody on the Raw stream next week to dress up. I can't see you, but it doesn't matter. You got to be festive. You got to dress up for Halloween. We're going to have a Halloween costume party here on the stream next Monday night. And we're going to finish out the month of October on a high note. And for those of you who are not aware, House of Glory will be live on Fight TV this Saturday night from La Boom in Queens, New York. We've got Shingo Takagi from New Japan Pro Wrestling coming in to wrestle Low Ki. We've got Aussie Open challenging the Briscoes for the House of Glory tag team titles. Jannai Kai is going to be challenging Violet for the Women's Championship. We're going to have Charles Mason in action, defending his crown jewel. What's going on here? His crown jewel championship. Jacob Fatu is going to be challenging a mystery man to crown a new House of Glory world champion, which we were supposed to do at Terminal 5 a couple of months ago. We will crown a new champion this weekend. So it's a very big show. I'll be live on Fight, along with JD from NY. We'll be calling the action, so looking forward to that on Saturday night. It's going to be lit. It's going to be lit. Do I celebrate Festivus every year? Yes, of course. Of course. Richie, could Rhea Ripley beat Michael Myers from Halloween Ends? I could beat Michael Myers from Halloween Ends. Did you see him in the sewer? Are you kidding me? Fucking Riho could beat Michael Myers from Halloween Ends. Fucking Riho. Fire Panda says, I'm off to read more ancient texts, my lord. Good night. Fire Panda, thank you for all the love tonight. Samoan fan, is Halloween Ends the worst Halloween movie? No, no, it's not. Luis Belmont show walkthroughs. Looks like I am dressing up as Misty from Pokemon. No Togepi. Oh, look, it's Perk Angle, everybody. Everybody wave to Perk. There's Perk Angle. What is that? Togepi? Is that a Pokemon? Togepi? Am I pronouncing that right, or am I completely butchering that? I don't know what Togepi is. Dr. Dakota Scorpio. Brandi Rhodes joins the OC to fight Rhea Ripley. Tripod says, I bet Championship Wrestling from Hollywood was a better show than Raw tonight. I'll bet you House of Glory on Saturday is going to be a hell of a lot better than Raw tonight. Rizzo says, I always laugh when that Batista and Roman gif comes up. Talk about something that should be on Pornhub. Not that I would know of what that site is. Oh, of course not. Of course not. We're all very cultured individuals here. All right, so I'm being told it's pronounced Togepi. Togepi? Okay. Togepi. Apparently Togepi is a Pokemon. Toguppy. Like a fish? So apparently it's some kind of fish Pokemon, I guess. It looks like a salmon or something. Maybe some soul. I don't know. I have no idea. You're asking me about Pokemon, please. We got Louie. I can always count on my Yankees to let me down. Yeah, there's something about New York sports teams. Although the Jets and the Giants are actually doing very well right now. Shockingly, what are the Giants? Giants are 6-1, I think the Giants are. But the Mets and Yankees, they always find a way to let you down. Crazy says, Togepi. I've now been given three different pronunciations of this, by the way. Togepi, Togepi, and Toguppy. So I take your pick, whichever one you think is correct. KG BLK, when do you see Sasha and Naomi coming back? I thought they'd be back by now, to be honest with you. So I have no doubt they will be back in WWE. When they will be back, we have War Games coming up. It doesn't look like they're going to probably fit in there. But we also have the Royal Rumble. And I think that Triple H might want to save one or two big surprises for each Royal Rumble match. I could see them making a surprise return to the Royal Rumble. So I don't know exactly when Triple H is going to bring them back. I don't know if they have a deal already in place, but there's not a doubt in my mind that they're going to be back, and they'll be back in WWE. They're not going to go to AEW. Sasha on social media has been teasing things with some of the Japanese ladies. I could see her maybe wanting to work some stardom matches or something, you know? I said a few months ago when they announced the IWGP Women's Championship, the creation of that title, I said, oh, I bet you Sasha's eyes probably lit up when she heard about that. So maybe she's got a few things she wants to do first before she comes back and signs a contract. GCC, buy or sell, rant on Halloween Ends or 2019 Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. I mean, that's up to you guys. That's not for me to decide. I went off on both those things, but you guys decide. You guys have to decide on what you thought was the better rant. Dakota says, fish Pokemon. I can't stop laughing. Isn't that what it is? I mean, is that not what that is? I thought it was like some kind of fish Pokemon, you know? I hear guppy, I think fish. Is that not what it is? I'm not really a fish guy, so I feel like he wouldn't be my Pokemon of choice. Jay Baker, thank you for the $1.99. Food Hive. Always waiting for the very end here. Food Hive says, Halloween Ends makes Halloween 3 look like Casablanca. I will not tolerate any Halloween 3 slander on my timeline here. You better keep yourself in check there, buddy boy. You know, I never saw Casablanca. I never saw Gone with the Wind. Louis says, this year I'm dressing up as Tammy Sitch. I will be wearing an orange prison jumpsuit. Dakota says, it's all good. It's not a fish Pokemon. Well, that's disappointing. That's a very misleading name if that's the case. Togepi is an egg. So it's an egg? Like the one that hatched at Survivor Series? We already had the gobbledygooker and Be the Booker tonight. Rizzo says, how would you rate the first 7 Halloween movies? I feel like I've done this on the podcast before. The original is number 1. Okay, so the original is number 1. The third one I have at number 2. Now, if I was ranking all of them, the 2018 one would be number 3. But you said the first 7. So it's 1, 3. Probably 2, 4, 5, which was not as good as 4. 4 is not a bad movie, actually. 5 is not very good. 6 is no good. And which one was 7? Was 7 H2O? I feel like 7 might have been H2O. I don't remember now. But anyway, that's how I would rank. And Richie says, buy or sell, Halloween Kills or Halloween Ends? I felt like they got progressively worse. So Halloween Kills. Sell on Ends. We have got Amiibo, channel member for 13 months. That's a 1 and a 3. Solomonster, please pronounce Pidgeot. Is that another one of these Pokemons? Pidgeot? Pidgeot? Pidgeot. Who came up with these stupid fucking names anyway? Who named these Pokemon? Can't pronounce any of them. Surprised they don't give people these names in NXT. Samoan fan, which pissed you off more? Ends or Hell? We already talked about that, brother. They both pissed me off. They both piss me off. Cameron Spencer, should WWE apologize for bad shows? No. Tonight was hopefully just one of those nights. Next week, I'm hoping they'll rebound. I think that, look, there were years worth of bad shows they should have apologized for. But every time they have a bad show, should they apologize? No, they should just come back the following week and give us a better show. That's the best apology they could give their fans. Come back the next week with a better show. I don't need to be told I'm sorry. Just come back next week and give me an entertaining TV show. Rizzo says 1, 4, 3, 2, 5, 7, 6. He's giving me his ranking. Hey, Casey is Raw. Just became a channel member. Been a channel member for 9 months. He says been a listener for well over a decade. Hey, Casey, I hope you're doing okay, bro. I've talked to Casey before. Blame Satoshi Tajiri for Pokemon names. And no, he is not related to Tajiri. Food Hive says, I would rather watch Busta Rhymes karate kick Michael Myers in Resurrection than watch whatever trash they made ends, which I said was the worst of all of them. Samoan fan, who came up with Pokemon names? One word, Japan. It's a lot of good stuff to come out of Japan. Those names are not one of them. Am I going to review the Hulk Hogan movie? I have no idea what Hulk Hogan movie are you talking about. He did a movie? A new movie? Probably not. Jay Baker, you're saying the OG 151 Pokemon names should be a vid. Oh, me saying the OG, there's 151 Pokemon names? There's 150 of them? Should be a video. You still didn't tell me if I pronounced that other one right. Was it Pidgeot? I said Pidgeot or Pidgeot. There are worse Pokemon names out there. Oh, boy. Maybe that'll be an extra for channel members. Just me reciting horrible Pokemon names. All right. Again, one last look at the poll here. That is an absolutely dreadful score. 19.6% of you have given the show a thumbs up tonight. Let your voices be heard at Solomonster. Follow me on Twitter. And please hit the subscribe button here on this here channel if you have not already done so. Because we will be live again with you on Wednesday night for what looks to be a pretty loaded edition of AEW Dynamite. I'm looking forward to Dynamite being back in its normal time slot. And check out episode 779, 2 hour sound off that just dropped on Sunday. Put a lot of time into that one. I hope you guys take the time to enjoy it and leave a comment. And until then, be well, stay safe. Have yourselves a great night. We've got Dre Hund wants to know if I watch any anime. I do not. And Dakota says, you got the name right. There you go. That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. Now, if you don't mind, I got a bottle of Jack Daniels downstairs with my name on it. I got a little can of Coke next to it. Me and Togepi are going to go have a drink. We're going to go talk about this terrible Raw show tonight. And then me and Togepi will be back with you for the Dynamite recap on Wednesday. Where is Togepi over? Look at that. Togepi is over there. He's hanging out in the corner with our buddy Mr. Moxley over there. They're having a conversation. I can't hear what they're talking about. Moxley and Togepi are deep in conversation right now. What are you guys talking about?
Fuck Kevin Dunn.
I should have known. See you guys on Wednesday.